Blog Talk Radio.
Again to another exciting episode of Dubwise Talk. I am Judah Darar, your host, and I am so honored to have this evening the honorable, the beautiful, and the most talented in the holistic food arena. Her name is Madea Allen, holistic chef educator. But before I bring her on, I'd like to play this ad for you, and we will be right back. Wrong one. Here we go. Greetings, Aquaba. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. They are located at 6971 North Sheridan Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. This two-room garden metal shop specializes in arts and crafts, body care products, and clothing, mostly from Kenya and West and Central Africa. They also specialize in authentic hand-carved wood masks that have the spirit infused in them, alongside the bags made of kente cloth and knit Rastafarian tap-stained carved wood jewelry. The body products include several kinds of pure, unrefined shea butter, as well as black soap made from the ashes of leaves, bark, and cocoa pods, mixed with shea butter or palm oil, then cured, which is noted for its deep cleansing properties. Aside from that, Unan Imports exudes an ambiance that is one to remember. Do yourself a favor. Take some time and go over to Unan Imports, located at 6971 North Sheridan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60626, and see who I call Doc, Brother Al Unan. You'll be glad you did.
Greetings, Madea. Madea, greetings, beloved. How are you?
Greetings, Judah. I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm a little envious, though. You're sitting in a park, sitting in God's office, and I'm sitting in my studio with the rain outside my window.
Well, rain is good, too.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So, tell us, what do you have in store for our intellect today, dealing with the holistic food educator? Before you do that, tell the audience, for those who are new to this concept, which will be a regular feature once a month, tell the audience what a holistic food educator is.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to, again, thank you, Judah, for inviting me to do this conversation with you on a regular basis once a month to share my expertise, my passion, obviously, and my joy with your listeners about holistic eating, cooking, and lifestyle practices. So give thanks. What holistic food education is about. So when you think in terms of holistic, that is really thinking in terms of the entire picture of what is driving us to eat well. You know, it's not just what we eat, but it's how we eat, it's how we shop, how we prepare food, how we select food for our bodies, for our minds, for our spirits. It's really looking at food not just from the perspective of, you know, filling up your belly, but how to truly nourish your mind, body, and spirit. So for me, that's how I view holistic food education. And it's really about educating whole people, whole families, and considering the entire picture of, you know, what will motivate us to eat well and to nourish ourselves and our families.
Oh, that is so beautiful, beloved, because the universe is a holistic entity, and it operates on the holistic principle. So it stands to reason for us to be in harmony with the universe. We have to be holistic in our eating as well.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. So tell us about today's feature. What will grant your delight today?
Okay. So, of course, I have my intention of what I would like for us to discuss, and then I'm just going to leave it to universe to also guide our conversation and inform us to where we should take it, you know, because we have our ideas, but then there's a larger idea that needs to be shared, so I'm open.
Oh, boy. Let's Hello? Madea? Hello? Madea?
Greetings. I don't know what happened in my background.
Yeah, we got disconnected, but we're back now. I was just trying to call you. You left off talking about, I surmise that we should be in a holistic environment, and then we left off going into today's feature.
Exactly. Okay, so let's get right to it. So today I would love for us to discuss setting up your kitchen with the right tools. I think, of course, having the right tools to work with is a very important aspect of preparing food with joy and not so much for it to be a chore. So if you just have all the things you need in the kitchen, you can have, you know, a much more pleasant time in preparing the food, which would then help you have more positive energy as you prepare it.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I have a gigantic smile on my face just from the first item, to prepare your food with spirit of love and joy. It makes a big difference in the whole spectrum of things.
Yes. It certainly does. So, you know, just as you, when you're going on a journey, you need to pack certain things on your trip. It's just the same idea when you go into the kitchen. You need to, you know, have certain things in place to have your journey be pleasant, right?
Yes, indeed. So tell us, what is your first consideration when starting a holistic kitchen?
Okay, so I always like to start with you having the right idea in mind, having the right spirit, if you will, having the right attitude when it's time to prepare food. So before we even talk about tools, let's talk about the most important tool, and it's us. You know, we are stepping into the kitchen. We are driving the entire operation. So
yes,
if we have a positive outlook, and not, you know, depressed or sad or all these negative emotions going into the kitchen, I think that it would just make everything else go smoothly. So just having the right attitude, number one, when it's time to prepare food.
You know, a comment on that is, an instant thought I got is, people who have a stern disposition usually aren't good cooks. It's the people that are happy and jovial and very social, to me, are the good cooks. What is your observation about that?
That makes me laugh because, you know, it's true. I mean, I think, you know, there are the stern people who appear stern on the outside, but then it's the people who are stern but also love what they do in the kitchen that makes a lot of difference. Like my mom, she was full of love, heart of gold, but yeah, she was stern. She had 5 children and she had to, you know, get us in check, that type of thing. But when she stepped in the kitchen, she loved what she did. So love, I think, is just like the most important tool to have, you know, beyond the physical tools you work with. It's just the first thing is to be in love with the process. So that's number one.
Okay, so number one, we are in love with the product. And, well, 1A and 1B would be to be happy and then to be in love with the product. All right, so we got number one now.
Yeah, good. So after you are in love and you're happy, I think the most important thing to have in place next is a really good knife. I think that my knife is an extension of my arm. That's how I see it.
I see. Expound on the knife issue.
I'm sorry?
Can you expound on the knifery?
Yeah. So
is that a proper word,
knife,
first of all? Is that a real word?
It sounded good, so we're going to go with it. the knifery, the cutlery, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, your knife is going to be
really like your tool of the trade in the kitchen. If you don't know a clue about knives, the first thing you should know is having a well-constructed knife. And it will do you well to invest in a good knife, because I'll tell you, I've worked with the same knife for about the same set of knives for years. It's 2015. For about 10 years, I've worked with my same set of knives. My very first professional knife kit, which I received in culinary school, is the same knives that I use today, and that was 10 years ago. That speaks to the quality of the knife. So a well-constructed knife, a knife made of carbon stainless steel, which will not rust, and it won't chip away, it'll keep the sharp edge fairly well. So the construction of it is also important. It's a nice weight. It's not too light. It has enough weight to allow you to cut with ease. It's comfortable to hold. Mm-hmm. It will, you have to keep it sharp. So knowing how to sharpen a knife or going to a supply store where they can sharpen it for you. So a nice, well-constructed, sharp knife is the key behind cooking. It'll save you so much time in the kitchen working with a well-constructed, sharp knife.
Now, can you recommend any brands that would assist us in purchasing a well-constructed? I'm a vegetarian, and the only thing that I cut that is not vegetable is fish, and that's very so. So what would be a good knife for a vegetarian to use?
I think that a vegetarian or non-vegetarian, it really doesn't matter, because I think that the construction of the knife, let me say this, vegetables come in all shapes, sizes, textures. So you have some very tough vegetables that, require a nice sturdy knife. So in terms of brand, I can speak to my brand of the knife that I have. It's Messermeister. It's a German brand. I know that there's tons of other brands out there, but I haven't been in the market of Sharp and Foot shopping for knives because I've had a very, good knife for all these years.
Yes.
But I know that it's worth it just to shop around. I know Macy's has just a great department in terms of cooking supplies and equipment. New York City is a great place for cooking equipment if you live there, or can just Google, knives. It's great to just start the research.
How about have you tried or considered the internet, eBay, et cetera?
eBay, Amazon. There's some great outlets for shopping, but I would do research in terms of the construction of the knife, the material of the knife. There are some features of a knife, that you want to look for, like the handle. Does the blade go all the way to the end of the handle? That's called tang, T-A-N-G. Is that tang from the point of your knife to the end of your handle? That is going to, give you an indication of a good knife. I would do research, and in a lot of the classes that I teach on knife skills and knife safety, I go through the construction, the material, and things like that. But, a good knife, just start to research. And like I said, carbon stainless steel, a good weight. That's a good place to start.
So what size do you recommend buying if someone had, say, $100? How many knives can you get for $100, or how many good knives can you get for $100?
Yes, a good knife with the $100, you may can get two, possibly three. I wouldn't try to get, a whole kit for $100. I would focus on getting a really well-made French knife. And if you're lucky, you can get a well-made French knife and Japanese knife. The French knife is going to be the knife that has curvature, and that'll be for more sturdy cutting jobs. The Japanese knife, that's a more thinly constructed blade, does well with lots of vegetarian vegetable cutting and chopping. I wouldn't cut like a butternut squash with the Japanese knife though, because it's not sturdy enough.
Well, what knife is it? What is the proper name for the meat cleaver? That's what I use for cutting sweet potatoes and cutting celery. I'll use my cleaver, and I think it's an Asian cleaver. Talk about that.
A cleaver. I would use cleaver for meat. But
now, listen, I'm not the barometer. I won't be the barometer. So just expound on what you're going to say, because I'll use that because I don't know anything better.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, I think that for versatility, a French knife will allow you more diversity on what you're able to cut. I mean, the cleaver, the way it's constructed, I wouldn't do a lot of chopping for a long period of time with a cleaver because it's just not comfortable, you know, to hold for a long period of time. But if you just, you know, if that's what you're used to working with, that's great. But I would use, like I said, a French knife and a Japanese knife. Those can cover a wider range of chopping and slicing.
The Japanese knife, how is it constructed? Is it curved as well?
No, it's not curved, so it's a more rectangular shape. And so because it's rectangular, that's the chopping that's done where you're going up and down as opposed to rocking back and forth with a curved knife like the French knife.
Okay.
So,
you
know, I think that people should, I would recommend that people try out both. You know, you can go shop around and just see how it feels, talk to the people who work there. It may be a bit of benefit to have both types, and then you can see, like, which one is most comfortable. But I use both interchangeably. But your knife, I think, is great. You start there with a really good knife because it's going to, like I said, save you a lot of time, allow you to do some really good cuts, but yet being comfortable with a knife is a great first step.
And how many inches are you talking about each knife?
The French knife is about 10 inches. My French is about 10 inches. My Japanese is about 8 or 9 inches. Japanese is a shorter knife. I have a great YouTube video up that talks about having the right knife for the right job, because all knives aren't necessarily for all things. So that will be a great resource for people to look me up on YouTube and find that video. And I'm just talking about different knives for different jobs in the kitchen.
What is the title of that video for the audience?
So finding, really was using the right knife for the right job. And if you look Organic Soul Chef up on YouTube or Madea Allen on YouTube, you should find that. It's a part of a kitchen series, video series that I did about increasing your kitchen skills. So finding the right knife for the right job.
Madea, let's move along. We've learned quite a bit so far. And let's move along to now the pans and the pots in the kitchen. Tell us what you would do to start your kitchen with after you got your fantastic knives.
Yeah, so you have your knife, and of course, if you have a nice sharp knife, you're going to always cut on a cutting board. So I don't want to forget that piece. Polyurethane, wooden cutting board, either one works great. Now, for pots and pans, you're going to think about cooking on the stove as well as in the stove. So let's start with on the stove. We will have your basic saute pan that could, you know, assist you with sauteing and stir frying vegetables.
Yes.
Those come in varieties of 10-inch, 12-inch, 14-inch. Then you have your sauce pots that that can do wet cooking, like boiling, soups. Of course, if you want a good, you always want to think about material. So I never recommend aluminum pans. If you have aluminum, please get rid of aluminum. Aluminum has been correlated with brain deterioration and Alzheimer's. Aluminum is a highly reactive metal, so it can break down very easily, and it's oxidizing. So don't ever use aluminum pots. The core pots that are aluminum at the core is great, but they should be coated with stainless steel. So I recommend stainless steel pots. Aluminum core is fine.
I would say that knowing that about aluminum, I don't believe in walking at the edge of the mountain. I like to stay in the middle. So I wouldn't even use aluminum for nothing. That's just me.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I hear you. And as long as you have a pot that's well constructed, that on the outer cover you have stainless steel. If you have cheap pots where you have an aluminum core and it's not constructed well, you can have leaching. But there's something called ply, like it's talking about levels. So if you have a 3-ply pan, that means your inner core will be aluminum and then the outer would be stainless steel. Actually, aluminum is a great conductor of heat. So that's why it's a great material to use internally, but never don't ever let your food touch aluminum, like especially not acidic cooking, because it could react the metal. I think that also cast iron is a great material to use. I love cast iron.
I love the cast iron skillet, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great, but you have to know how to care for them. They're great, you know, for people who have anemia. Using cast iron is excellent. However, if you have a cast iron, you have to keep it seasoned, meaning it needs to have that nice coating of oil that's on the outer layer of it. So don't ever, like, use soap and water on cast iron, because that could rust it out real easy. But I use cast iron every single day. I have a cast iron pot, a pan, a little mini 3-inch pan of cast iron.
Yes, yes. I'm so in love with the cast iron because it is from my mother, and her mother used to use a cast iron skillet. But, beloved, you know what? We have only 1 minute left on this show.
Okay.
And listen, I need to have you come back. We can talk more about these pots and pans because we didn't get a chance to do that in its entire scope. But let's do that again at the next new moon next month, all right?
Looking forward to it.
Next new moon, all right. Peace and blessings. Thank you for listening in, all of you out there in Dubwise Land. Favor the show, go to the show and favor it. I need your statistics. And we give thanks again to the lovely and the talented and the beautiful Adia Allen. See you next month on the new moon. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings.